Thank you, Madam Chairman, Excellencies, distinguished delegates. Let me begin by thanking a number of countries who refer to the right to food as a tool to combat the current crisis. I would like to thank Brazil, China, Egypt, speaking on behalf of the non-aligned movement, El Salvador, India, Uruguay and others, for having emphasized that food is more than a need, it is a human right, a position which is also that of the UN Secretary General. I would also like to commend the diplomats who spent many weeks negotiating a consensus on the text which finally is the declaration which was adopted 2 days ago. The declaration, of course, is far from perfect. It is a compromise. It is weak on issues such as the production and use of agrofuels, speculation on the futures markets of agricultural commodities by commodity index funds, although both phenomena have had important impacts on the volatility of prices and on the ability of net food importing countries to feed themselves. Alluding to the issue of large-scale acquisitions or leases of farmland, it refers to the need to promote responsible international agricultural investment, without recognizing, however, that without a more coordinated approach, developing countries may be unable to maximize the positive impacts of the arrival of investors while minimizing potential and sometimes very real adverse impacts. The declaration refers to the need for a timely and balanced conclusion of the Doha development round of trade negotiations without even acknowledging that export-led agriculture has in the past worked against the interests of smallholders, those whom we all now recognize must be supported in their ability to produce. The food economy today is characterized by global supply chains and the importance of added value production by private corporations who set the prices and link the producers to consumers. Without any sort of control and with often extremely high levels of concentration, that represent a very serious market failure. The declaration is silent about how to address this. And it is silent also about the role of agricultural workers, their right to a living wage, and the enjoyment of their other fundamental rights, although 450 million people are in this category and suffer from violations of their right to food due to depressed wages and casualization of labor on large plantations. We are now, ladies and gentlemen, at a critical juncture in which the tension between supporting small-scale agriculture and sustainable modes of farming, on the one hand, and pushing for more competition on globalized food markets dominated by large agribusiness corporations, often tempted to depress the wages of laborers, on the other hand, is more and more visible. The declaration should have recognized this tension and identified ways to alleviate it by appropriate policies. Instead, because it ignores the problem, it is silent on the solutions. However, I'm convinced that this summit and this declaration are a signal to a new and promising era of global cooperation in achieving food security. And the reason is that at both national and international levels, accountability is emphasized, and this, in my view, is key. Hunger is not a fatality. It is a result of policies which could have been different and would not have been allowed to stand if their impacts had been monitored more carefully in the past. In 2004, the member states of the FAO adopted unanimously the voluntary guidelines on the progressive realization of the right to adequate food, which increasingly guides countries such as Brazil, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Venezuela to adopt national strategies which are empowering, participatory, and move in the right direction. At the international level, accountability is increased by the reform of the Committee on World Food Security, and I believe that this is a very important achievement. Let me close by saying that accountability based on the right to food is not a luxury. It is something essential for our initiatives to succeed. Support schemes to farmers that leave out the most marginalized, those living far from communication routes and who work on the least fertile soil, may succeed in raising production, but will fail to reduce hunger. Social programs that benefit the best connected those who are sufficiently well equipped to overcome bureaucratic hurdles, but do not reach the poor, the illiterate, will equally fail. Grounding these efforts on the right to food will not allow this to happen. By improving accountability, we ensure that such programs will be both more legitimate and more effective in achieving their objectives. Thank you.